I invite you to turn in your Bibles again to Genesis chapter 48. And I want to read in verse 17 that when Joseph saw that his father had laid his right hand on the head of Ephraim, it displeased him. And he held up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head unto Manasseh's head. And Joseph said unto his father, Not so, my father, for this is the firstborn. Put thy right hand upon his head. And his father refused and said, I know it, my son, I know it. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations. And he blessed them that day, saying, In thee shall Israel bless, saying, God make thee as Ephraim and as Manasseh. And he set Ephraim before Manasseh. And Israel said unto Joseph, Behold, I die, and God shall be with you, and bring you again into the land of your fathers. Moreover, I have given to thee one portion above thy brethren, which I took out of the hand of the Amorites with my sword and with my bow. This was an act of faith on Jacob's part. And we find that in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 21. It says, By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worship, leaning upon the top of his staff. We don't find that there are any mentions of Jacob living by faith until this time. Though Jacob did have a testimony of how the Lord delivered him and kept him alive all these years. And obviously, the Lord was with him. And even coming down into Egypt, Jacob offered sacrifices, and he was fearful about coming into Egypt, but God appeared unto him again and assured him that going into Egypt was the right thing to do. So here we find reference in Hebrews 11 of Jacob blessing the sons of Joseph. And notice that Jacob made a choice between the sons of Joseph. Actually, Manasseh, being the firstborn, should have gotten the right-hand blessing. And Joseph, if you notice, his will was being aligned. In other words, he knew that Manasseh was to get the right-hand blessing and Ephraim was to get the left-hand blessing. And so Joseph lined him up so that that would happen. But Jacob crossed his hands and he made a choice deliberately. This is not the first time this happened. In fact, it happened to Jacob and Esau. And so Jacob had already experienced that, the second born getting the firstborn blessing. And I'm reminded of the fact that it's not the will of him that runneth, nor of him that willeth, that can change God's purpose. It's God's purpose that's going to be accomplished. And the Lord delights in promoting the least to the greatest, the last to the first. And this is an example of that, as well as in the life of Jacob, Esau and Jacob. In 1 Chronicles chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, it says, Now the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, for he was the firstborn, but for as much as he defiled his father's bed, his birthright was given unto the sons of Joseph, the son of Israel. And the genealogy is not reckoned, or to be reckoned after the birthright. For Judah prevailed over his brethren, and of him came the chief ruler, but the birthright was Joseph's. What he's saying here is this. Normally, the firstborn not only got the double portion of his father's goods, but he was also the chief ruler. He was the one that was in charge of the house or the family. But this all changed. And by reason of strength, Judah prevailed above his brethren and of him the chief ruler, and became the chief ruler, but the birthright was Joseph's. And Joseph having two sons, this meant that Levi was left out. It's interesting if you study the inheritances of the sons of Israel in Joshua. You'll find that Reuben's inheritance is outside of the land, flowing with milk and honey. Gad and half the tribe of Manasseh is also outside the land, flowing with milk and honey. All the tribe of Ephraim is in the land, flowing with milk and honey, and half the tribe of Manasseh. Ephraim got a double portion. Manasseh only got one portion. That's the only reason why half the tribe was in the land. Levi got no inheritance in the land. And Simeon, his inheritance was blended into the tribe of Judah. In other words, it was no distinct inheritance for Simeon. And obviously, it seems obvious to me that Levi and Simeon were the two cruelest of the children of Israel. It was Simeon and Levi who did the men of Shechem in treachery. And of course, that affected their inheritance, just as in the case of Reuben, his inheritance was affected because of his misbehavior, sin of adultery. Now, in Joshua 14:4, it says, "The children of Joseph were two tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim. Therefore, they gave no part unto the Levites in the land, save cities to dwell in, with their suburbs, for their cattle and for their substance." Now, it's interesting to notice, as we have been studying in the life of Joseph, that God had chosen Joseph to go before his brethren, not the nation of Israel, because it hadn't become a nation. God had designed that his brethren would go into the land of Egypt to become a great nation. That's what God told Abraham was going to happen, all the way back in the 15th chapter of Genesis. But God had chosen Joseph to go before his brethren to save them and to feed not only his brethren, but also the whole world. It's an interesting passage of Scripture in Psalm 78, where it says, "He chose David also his servant, and took him from the sheepfold, from following the ewes great with young. He brought them to feed Jacob his people, and Israel his inheritance. So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart, and guided them by the skillfulness of his hand." God chose David to do that for his people. God chose Joseph to do that for his people. Did Joseph do what David did? Yes, he did. He fed them. Joseph also was a shepherd, though he did not have the testimony that David had, but Joseph was the least of his brethren. And was David the least of his household? Absolutely. And so God delights in putting those who are least esteemed into positions of esteem, as he did Joseph. In Genesis 45 and verse 5 it says, "Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves." This is Joseph talking to his brothers. "That ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life." Joseph knew this. In verse 7 and 8 of chapter 45 it says, "And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God." God was in charge, and Joseph knew that, and he was sharing this with his brethren. In Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20 it says, "But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones, And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. I think it's interesting to note, just in passing, that Pharaoh and Joseph put Jacob's father and his brothers in the land of Goshen. You know what side of the Nile River the land of Goshen is on? It is on the eastern side of the Nile River. This was part of the land that God had promised to Abraham. They were actually still in the land that God promised to Abraham. Because God promised Abraham from the great river of Egypt unto the river of the Euphrates. So if Israel had and his posterity never left the land of Egypt or stayed in the land of Goshen, they would have been in the land that God promised to Abraham. But it was not the land flowing with milk and honey. It was the land flowing with leeks and garlics and cucumbers and stinky old fish. And not the land flowing with milk and honey. And I think that is significant, because God wanted the nation of Israel to eventually, 430 years later, to come out as a nation and go into the land flowing with milk and honey. In the New Testament, we read that many are called, but few are chosen. This has to do with the doctrine of election, and of a lot of people today that believe that only the elect will be saved and the non-elect will be damned. But the Bible still teaches whosoever will. And the correct interpretation of election is not salvation, but it is a family matter. It's position in the family and not who's going to be saved and who isn't going to be saved. Election was taking place with Esau and Jacob. Election was taking place with Ephraim and Manasseh. And it has to do with setting one of the brothers above the other. And in the case, it's the least in the family that is placed above the greatest in the family. And that is to God's delight. And you can read that in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, how that God has not chosen the elite, the wise, and all of that, but He has chosen the base things of this world to confound those who are uppity. Anyway, so we need to appreciate the fact that of what the Lord is telling us in Ephesians chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him, that is, in the family. He elects or chose us in the family, not outside the family to be in the family, but in the family, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Adoption of children does not mean what it sounds like. I heard a hymn on the radio this morning. It says, "I've been adopted, you know, into the family." You know, I sure feel bad for those who have been adopted into the family of God, because I was born into the family of God. Why do you need adoption if you're a born child of God? So we misunderstand what adoption is, because the King James people didn't do a good job translating it. What it has to do is that God has placed us in a position of a son. It's a compound Greek word. Adoption is a compound word, and it means to place as a son. That's what Jacob did to Ephraim and Manasseh. He made Ephraim a son, and he made Manasseh a servant of the son. That's election. And so we can rejoice in the fact that He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Did Jacob bless Ephraim? Yes, He did. Did Isaac bless Jacob? Yes, He did. And He also blessed Esau and Manasseh both. They were both blessed. But they were blessed because of Jacob and Ephraim being a blessing to them. And so we need to appreciate the fact that we have been blessed with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places. For what reason? That we can be a blessing to others. Was Joseph a blessing to his brothers, even though he was least, yet he was placed in a position of a firstborn, being the king or the second in command in Egypt? Yes, he was a blessing to his brothers. Should those who have been chosen as sons or are placed in a position of sonship, should they be a blessing to others? Absolutely. We need to be a blessing to others in the family. We need to bless them. How do we bless them? Well, how did Joseph bless the nation of Israel? How did David bless the nation of Israel? He fed them. Joseph fed them, and he saved their life. David fed them, and he saved their life. I mean, you know, just like if we die today, we go absent from the body, present with the Lord. You know, if a Jew died in his day, you know, he didn't go into never, never land. He went to be with his people. He went to be with the Lord and the Lord's people. But what the Old Testament speaks of in dying is the loss of one's inheritance. And the entering into and living in one's inheritance was a blessing. And Joseph allowed the nation of Israel to enter into the blessing of their inheritance. And that applies today to us as well. Now, the spirit of adoption is seen again in Romans chapter 15. Paul tells us, "We have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Did Jesus Christ have the spirit of adoption? Absolutely. What did He say in the garden when He was praying? He said, Abba, Father. And He defined what the spirit of adoption should be. We should be confident in our God that He can do anything He wants to do. All power is given to you. You can do anything. You could remove this cup from me. But Jesus said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. That is the spirit of adoption. That is the spirit that we need to have if we are going to be a blessing to our brethren. If we don't have that spirit, we might take vengeance upon our brethren that have done us in. You know, but Joseph did not do that. He did not do his brethren in. He spoke kindly unto him. He didn't use the sickle of his tongue and his behavior to do them in. Now, in chapter 8 of Romans again, and by the way, this is the spirit of adoption. Just as we can have the spirit of fear, this has to do with attitude. This has to do with purpose in our own life. This is not talking about the Holy Spirit. This creates confusion to talk about this as being the Holy Spirit. This has to do with our spirit toward those in the family. In Romans chapter 8, verses 29 and 30, it says, "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." Just like Joseph was the firstborn among many brethren, Jesus is the firstborn among many brethren. "Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified." Was Joseph called? Yes, he was called into Egypt. And was he justified? Well, he wasn't for a while, was he? I mean, Potiphar's wife did him in, and the cupbearer forgot him. But there was a time he became justified because he was approved by the Pharaoh of Egypt. And was he glorified? Yes, he was. And did his brothers receive the glory? Well, they didn't get all the glory, but they sure got the benefit. They got to move into the land that wasn't affected by the famine. Because his brothers and his father moved into Goshen, and there was grass growing in Goshen. Did you know that? Because that's where Pharaoh's cattle were grazing. And Joseph said, my brothers know how to take care of cattle. And so they moved into some pretty plush geography there in Goshen. Now, we need to appreciate what the Lord told His disciples in John 15:16. He says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. That you should go and bring forth grain. What is that grain for? Oh, to consume on myself. No. You remember the fellows that were starving to death outside the city in the Old Testament? And the enemy was it all ran off and left all their goods, and they were in there eating. Man, they were, you know, gorging themselves on all that good food, and everybody in the city was dying of hunger and thirst and everything. He says, what are we doing this for? Let's go tell them about this. But anyway, we don't bringing forth fruit. Now, let me just clear something up here. The fruit of a Christian is not another Christian. Okay? The fruit of a tree is not another tree. If all I got out of apple trees is apple trees, why have an apple tree? The fruit of an apple tree is what? Apples. For who? Well, I get to have one. In fact, we had, you know, if I've got an apple tree in the yard, I can go out and get me an apple. But I can also have apples for whom? For others. In fact, we just received a blessing from someone who had an apple tree in their yard. So the fruit of a Christian is not another Christian. The fruit of a Christian is something else. And we will look at that in just a moment. Now, in the close of the Lord's ministry, the Lord was talking to His disciples, and He turned to Peter and He said to Peter in John 21:15, Simon Peter, Simon son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? That is, all this fishing and stuff. And he said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he said unto him, feed my lambs. Did Joseph feed the lambs? He sure did. And then he said, he asked him the same question, and then he said, feed my sheep. Joseph fed his brethren, and he also fed his brethren's children. That's the little lambs. And his brother are the sheep, the older ones. And then he goes on and he asks him the third time, and he says, if you love me, he said, feed my sheep. We need to be in the business of feeding one another. In Acts 20:28, Paul told the church, or the elders at Ephesus, take heed to yourselves, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God which He hath purchased with His own blood. Feeding the church of God. That's my burden here. When you come here on Sunday morning, you know what my burden is? To have food prepared for you. Food. Spiritual food. And this was the charge that God gave to the elders at Ephesus. We need to feed the flock. Peter said, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking oversight thereof, not of constraint, but willingly, not of filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Paul says, I fed you with milk and not with meat. This is one of the advantages of knowing the sheep and the lambs. The lambs need milk. The sheep need meat. What is milk? It's the assurance of salvation. It's salvation. It has to do with being obedient. And the meat of the Word has to do with living by faith. There's a difference between the two. Those who need milk are carnal. They're living in the flesh. You know, I don't feel close to God. Well, then you have to say, well, who do you think moved? You know, and stuff like that. You got to encourage them, and so forth. Now, in Galatians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, it says, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might through the adoption of sons, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are being sons, actually that would be a better way of putting that, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. What is the Spirit of His Son that He's referring to here? Is that the Holy Spirit? No, it is the Spirit of adoption. It's the Spirit of adoption that cries, Abba, Father, not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't cry, Abba, Father. We that have received the Spirit of His Son, that is, the Spirit of adoption, are the ones who cry, Abba, Father. Now, in Galatians chapter 3, verse 2, and I'm going to show you how that this cannot be the Holy Spirit, because in Galatians 3:2 it says, this only what I learn of you, receive ye the Spirit of adoption by the words of the law or by the hearing of faith. How did you get the Spirit of adoption? By listening to those things that would help us to please God. It's the hearing of faith. Let me back up just a little bit here. We have heard a lot of people say that we are saved by faith. Faith is a noun and not a verb. Paul did not use faith in Acts 16:31. He used a verb. When the Philippian jailer asked him, what must I do to be saved? He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He used a verb. He did not use a noun. Noun has to do with those who are already in the family, who are already saved, and they are the ones who have received the Spirit of adoption on how? On what basis? On hearing of the words of faith. What are the words of faith? The words of faith are the words that tell us how we can be pleasing to God. Without faith, it is impossible to what? Please Him. Did you receive the Spirit of adoption by the law? No, because the law, you can't please God. But without the law, you can't live by faith either. In other words, it takes both. It takes being obedient, and it takes pleasing God by living by faith. The just live by faith. Now, in verse 5 of Galatians 3, it says, he therefore that ministered to you the Spirit of adoption and worketh miracles among you, did he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Again, he's confirming the fact that the Spirit of adoption is being ministered. I cannot minister the Holy Spirit to you. There may be some people who want you to believe that they can, you know, sock the Holy Spirit to you. And you go flaking out across the platform or whatever. Let me tell you, this is not talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit by hitting them in the head or slaying them in the spirit or whatever. This has to do with the ministry of the Spirit of adoption or the Spirit of sonship. The attitude of living like a son. The attitude of living like Joseph lived. An attitude of living like David lived. He was living in the Spirit of adoption. Now, in Galatians chapter 5, Galatians chapter 16, Galatians 16, 5:16, it says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit of adoption, or the Spirit of sonship, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you're living like a son, and you want to have positions of honor and glory like Joseph had and David had, you're not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Because we know that Reuben did what? He fulfilled the lust of the flesh, and he lost an inheritance in the land flowing with milk and honey. Simeon and Levi both lost an inheritance, really, in the land, even though the grace of God allowed Levi to be the priest. That just shows you the grace of God and how Levi was able to get a blessing. Now, that makes sense to me. To walk in the Spirit. Now, we could say, if you just walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's sort of an ambiguous thing, isn't it? How do you know that you're walking in the Spirit? Well, he didn't pension me. If you understand what I'm saying. But I know if I'm walking in the Spirit of being placed as a son, I can know that, because I can read about that. And we will see that in just a moment. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, here are evidences of walking in the Spirit of adoption. But the fruit of the Spirit of adoption is love, and joy, and peace, and long-suffering, and gentleness, and goodness, and faith, and meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law. How do I know when I'm walking in the Spirit of adoption? When I am producing this fruit. This is the fruit that ministers to others. You know, if I am not long-suffering, gentle, and good to people, then I will not treat them like Joseph treated his brothers. Now, Galatians 6, verses 8 and 9 says, "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit of adoption shall of the Spirit reap life for the age." In other words, this our everlasting life. This is not a reference to salvation, because you don't work for your salvation. This, a better translation of life everlasting is life of the age. And wherever you see the phrase or the reference to life of the age or everlasting life or eternal life, that is a reference to entering into the land flowing with milk and honey. Now, that we're not going to cover that this morning. We have done that many times in the past. But let me say this. You sow to the Spirit of adoption, you're going to get your inheritance in the land flowing with milk and honey. That's what we're interested in. "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." The implication is, if we quit, we will not reap it. We will not get it. So this couldn't be salvation, because you sure don't get saved by reaping till the end. That doesn't make sense. Paul sure got mixed up with the Philippian jailer, if that's the way you get saved. But anyway, so bearing fruit is important. Feeding others is important. And in John 15:8, and with this I'll close, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so shall you be my disciples." May the Lord help us to be like Joseph, chosen by God, just like Ephraim over Manasseh, just like Jacob over Esau, just like David over all of his other brothers, to what? To feed the sheep, to feed the lambs, to feed each other, and to help us, to help each other, and to encourage each other, to what? To enter into the land flowing with milk and honey. Father, we thank you for your word. And it's so wonderful to read it and to feed upon it, so that we can feed and encourage other people. Help us, Lord, to demonstrate in our life the fruit of the Spirit of adoption in loving each other, in joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance. Lord, we know that these can minister in such marvelous ways to each other. May these be evident in our life. Help us, Lord, to sow to the things of the Spirit of sonship and not to the things of the flesh, knowing that of the flesh we shall have no inheritance in the land flowing with milk and honey, even though we're in the family. Bless the message to each of our hearts, for it's in Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Amen.